The event at the Mitchell Library is part of the celebrations for the 150th anniversary of RNIB and the 30th anniversary of the Resource Unit for Visual Impairment at the Mitchell Library. And we thought we would join the two together because we have very similar aims. So the idea is to promote reading for people with sight loss, and to show just how it's evolved from 1868, the very first early Braille moon, come right through where we had the talking books, audio books, starting off as very much the province of blind and partially sighted people. But now everybody's got an audio book in the car, and we also have apps, we have downloadable services. There are many, many ways that people can read, including, you know, the traditional Braille and large print. Well, the Ruvie Service supports people with sight loss in the west of Scotland. It helps them to learn to use certain bits of time technology, helps them in sourcing accessible information, anything to do with reading, sight loss, and how it can be made better. What we're aiming to do at the event is to show people just how accessible reading now is for blind and partially sighted people, but also how libraries can help. Public libraries are a great resource for people. I seem to remember as a child, the societies, it was in Glasgow, sent books to my local library in Calder Street, and I went down and got these books the way my brother went in. My brother, who's fully sighted, still speaks of how he valued the local library as a boy, because I come from a family of avid readers. So what we want to do is to encourage libraries to make sure that their services are accessible, that their apps are accessible. It's great that you can read a library book online or on a digital device, but you've got to be able to access the app to be able to do that. So we're having a session in the morning where we're going to just have very brief presentations, brevity is the order of the day, about how reading has changed, what RNIB can offer, what Ruvie can offer, and we're hoping to attract to that senior library staff, people from the information world, but also some blind and partially sighted people who are avid readers. We're a bit limited for space, so that event is quite closed, but the bribe and the incentive to come along is a piece of celebration cake. That session's from 11 till 12. At 12 o'clock, we throw open the doors and we want everybody who can possibly get to the Mitchell Library to come and see the exhibition of Reading Then and Now, ranging from Braille in the early days through the early writing machines for Braille, talking book machines, showing how they started off as great things you could hardly lift and now you stick it in your pocket or on your phone, and demonstrating some of the new digital solutions so that people can see just how accessible reading has to become. But also there are key messages we want to get across, Alan. One is that although a lot of information is now accessible, there's still a great deal of the printed word that blind and partially sighted people can't access. I think it's 5% of what is produced is available in accessible formats. Now, you might think of 5% of everything that's published is going to do you most of or all of your natural life, but it's got to be the 5% you want to read. Also, we want to promote Braille. Audio is great. We all use audio. But if you read Braille, you have got total independence. And if you spend all your life without sight and you're dependent fully on audio and being spoken to, the spoken world, then you're missing out on the fundamentals of communication, of grammar, spelling, punctuation, just the written word. And also, those of us who do read Braille, there are many ways you can read it now. You don't have to carry around umpteen huge volumes. You can read it in various ways, a Braille display on a laptop, a pocket device like the Victor Stream. You can read it on your phone with a Braille display. So we do want to promote Braille, encourage schools to take Braille very seriously, but as one of the many options the blind and partially sighted people have, many of us do use a mixture. I don't live in Glasgow. Although I'm an exiled Glaswegian, I don't live in Glasgow. But I do a lot of work at Ruvie with the library officer there on technology, trying out different bits of technology, that type of thing. I've also been in the Mitchell Library a lot when people have been in getting help from Anne Hamilton, who runs the service there, And it's an extremely valuable resource for people in Glasgow and the west of Scotland, or anybody who want to know something about reading, communicating with sight loss. If I was asked my book for the desert island, I would take Thackeray's Vanity Fair. I don't think it's my favourite book, but I don't think there's a word on the page in Vanity Fair that hasn't been placed there. And if I was on the desert island, I would have really time to read it from cover to cover very thoroughly, write up my learned work on it, and bore everybody stiff if I got off the desert island. I read a lot of crime fiction, but I also read a bit of biography. I read a lot of cricket biography. And from time to time, I do read a heavy. When I was at university, I studied all the great works of literature. The novels I go back to, I don't now reread things like Paradise Lost and The Faerie Queen.